The Extra Pack of Peanuts Travel Podcast, Episode 25. Iowa is the only state whose eastern and western borders are 100% formed by water. Hey, E-Poppers, welcome to another edition of the Extra Pack of Peanuts Travel Podcast, and we've got a great show for you today, a really fun interview with one of my good friends, Thomas Frank, in which we're going to discuss a variety of subjects. We're going to touch on entrepreneurship. Thomas is going to give you some of his favorite productivity tips, tricks, and hacks so that he was able to do all types of cool stuff while he was still in college. He's going to share that stuff with you. And of course, we're going to touch on travel and how a kind of spur of the moment trip to Japan really changed his view on travel and his worldview in general. Before we get to that, if you haven't checked out the site in a while at extrapackofpeanuts.com, I urge you, go on over to extrapackofpeanuts.com/free, sign up for our newsletter. You're going to get a copy of our Become a Frequent Flyer Millionaire series. And if you're listening to a travel podcast, of course, that probably means that you want to travel. And so I share all my best tips and tricks on how you can start traveling and traveling for a lot less than you think is possible by learning about frequent flyer miles and really maximizing them. So you'll get the guide completely free. That's extrapackofpeanuts.com/free. Head on over there, sign up for the newsletter. Also, I'm really excited. We've got something in the works for the site that we're hoping will launch by the end of February or beginning of March. So keep your eyes and ears open for that. And as soon as that comes about, I'll of course be letting you know through the podcast and also through posts on the site. Now let's launch into this great interview with Thomas Frank from collegeinfogeek.com. Hello, travel nerds, and welcome to the Extra Pack of Peanuts Travel Podcast, the show that teaches you how to travel more while spending less. I'm Trav, the creator of Extra Pack of Peanuts, and with me today is someone who has packed more wisdom and experience in his first 22 years of life than most people have in double that time, and the founder of collegeinfogeek.com, Thomas Frank. Thomas, thanks so much for coming on the show and welcome.
Thanks for having me on, Travis. What's up?
Yeah, this is going to be a great show. Me and Thomas have talked plenty over Skype before, and we always say, hey, we should record a podcast about it. So now that's what we're doing. We're going to talk a lot about travel a little bit later and how it's kind of formed your life and changed stuff around a little bit for you, Thomas. But first, I am just amazed at how motivated you are and what you've been able to accomplish at such a young age, because Lord knows when I was 22 years old, I was not doing the cool things that you're doing. Can you tell people a little bit about your story and what you do at College Info Geek?
Sure thing. Well, first, thanks for that introduction. It made me sound a lot better than I feel most mornings when I wake up a half hour late. Where to start? Basically, College Info Geek is a site that helps college students be awesome at college. That's kind of my little pitch for it. And I started it out as like really, really unstructured college tips. And I was majoring in information systems, so I wanted to have a little bit of a tech focus. But now it's kind of moved on over the years. And for now, my focus is one, help people be more productive, like hack their studying, be more efficient with what they're learning. Two, learn how to promote themselves, make a personal brand, connect with recruiters, things like that. And then three, pay off their student debt, because debt is just an insane problem. And what I've realized is, through building this focus, my site isn't just for students, because there are people out of college who want to connect with recruiters and get a job. There are people out of college who need to pay off lots of student loans and they want to learn things in their free time. So it's like, yeah, that word's kind of stuck in the domain name now, but I think it's applicable to more than just students, which is why I'm still doing it.
Yeah, very, very cool. So more or less, you're telling people, all right, all those wasted hours that you spend doing X, Y, and Z, like, here's how to be able to still have fun, do what you want, but actually be productive based on kind of systems that you create or tricks or habits that you form.
Exactly. And yeah, habits are definitely a huge part of it. I've learned just get everything out of that initial stage where you have to use your mental energy to make yourself do things and just build habits out of it.
So when you started college, were you always just this like super productive, I'm going to build a website when I'm in college and it's going to be my job? Or did it kind of happen organically? How did that come about?
I will say that I was really motivated to do well when I got to college. And the reason for that is I grew up in a house where my parents basically told me, you're going to have to do college on your own. Like, we can't help you. We can help you with like buying personal items like your clothes and toothbrush and stuff like that. But you're paying for college on your own. And my father just got laid off from a big string of jobs and, you know, economy or politics, you know, usually not his fault, but it's just like I saw these outside influences that came in and took his jobs out of under him several different times. And growing up, I'm like, I never want that to happen to me ever, because it sucks to be unemployed and having to like send out stacks of resumes and everything. So I was like, all right, I'm going to go to college. I'm going to make sure that I can be indispensable somewhere, whether it's my own thing, whether it's working for somebody, that's going to be what I do. So I kind of went in with that mindset and I tried to be really prepared when I got into college.
Yeah, that's an awesome word I think that you used, indispensable there. And if you're someone who's listening, you want to create your own business, obviously then you're doing something that you control your own destiny, but it can work the other way working for a company. Because if you're someone who has a multitude of skills and you just show up and can do anything anyone asks, you know, it's going to be very, very hard for them to get rid of you, like you said, as opposed to the person with one skill that can then be laid off down in the future sometime.
Exactly. What's that Seth Godin book? Linchpin. That's all about like how to be indispensable, be the person that the company can't let go because you're essential to what they do. That's kind of what I wanted to build. There's a quote from Robert Heinlein. I don't know if you've heard it, but it's like a human being should be able to change a diaper, plan an invasion, give and take orders, all these different things. Specialization is for insects. So, I mean, that's kind of one of the philosophies I try to live by. I want to get a lot of different skills and be able to do a lot of different things. So if one thing gets pulled out of under my feet, got some more things to go, you know?
Yeah, for sure. And you mentioned that the stuff that you talk about, it casts a wider net than just the college student thing, and that it started because you said, I want to teach college kids how to do it, but really it can go for anyone of any age. But I want to talk a little bit about when you were in college and you just graduated, so congratulations on that, and now you're out of college. College Info Geek founders, out of college, everyone. I know for me, you know, I could barely wake up for 10 o'clock classes. I was probably the least productive human in college, although, I mean, there's probably a lot of people claiming that.
Yeah, I met some competition that would be pretty tough for that one.
Right, I didn't flunk out, so obviously I might not have been the least productive, but you were able to get awesome grades. I think you said you graduated, you know, with above a 3.5. You started your website, it's flourishing now, and now is your full-time job. And the big thing, too, you were able to pay off your student loan. So tell me, what systems you put in place to be able to do that? Like, how are you actually able to do that kind of stuff?
It's kind of hard to, like, pull together everything that I used to make all that happen. But I think the biggest thing is just mindfulness. Like, what I've realized is a lot of students do what is immediately, like, do, you know, they do their homework and they're like, okay, I need to do this. But the concept of mindfulness, at least in my mind, is that I'm always constantly running through like, okay, what should I do to make sure this facet of my life is going towards my goals? So I'm dependent on X, Y, and Z. These are the things that are my dependencies in life. And what do I need to do to make sure these things are still in place X amount of days from now or years from now? And what do I need to do to make sure they're going towards what I want them to go towards? Because of that, I was the first person to sign up for classes the moment that the classes opened. So I never had a problem getting into classes I needed. I never had a problem getting the schedule I wanted. I always had the scheduling I wanted because I was mindful about that kind of thing. I never had a problem getting into apartments I needed because I was mindful about I'm dependent upon somewhere to live, that kind of thing. I'm dependent upon a job. So I would always look early for jobs and got really good opportunities in that space. And what I found happens is when you're mindful about things and you try to optimize each part of your life, that's when the lucky things happen. A lot of people will be like, oh, well, you got a lucky break in this area. That's how you got to where you are. Yeah, one of my lucky breaks with this site was getting on Lifehacker about a year in. But that's because of mindfulness and posting things and, you know, trying to make sure I'm creating great content. When you're mindful and you work hard and you try to seize opportunities the moment they open up, then you tend to get lucky.
It's funny because you look at the people who are quote unquote lucky in life, and they're usually the people who are optimistic, and they're usually the people who have done other things that small things that people wouldn't think about doing, but they've taken those small steps and all of a sudden, aha, they're lucky, right? Well, there's a path to luckiness almost, right? Or like a staircase to luckiness. You put that great. You've climbed that staircase and now, people say, oh, you've gotten lucky. And sure, there is luck in life, but I think it's people creating your own luck as opposed to just these huge breaks outside of maybe winning the lottery or something like that.
Exactly. Now, there's kind of a parallel. I play a lot of Magic the Gathering, and I don't know if anyone plays the game, but you construct the deck completely yourself. Like every card choice is your own, and you have to kind of know what you want to do. But I mean, when it comes down to it, it's the luck of the draw that really determines how you're going to play. But if you take the time to research and build good synergy with your cards and make sure you know exactly what your strategy is, then you're going to get more lucky than if you didn't really plan it out very well. So same kind of thing in real life. If you have a plan and you're working towards your goals, then the luck is more likely to happen.
Yeah, and I like the mindfulness thing that you talked about, especially in regards to the fact that it sounded almost to me that you were saying like, well, I prioritize stuff, but I don't prioritize the thing that has to get done or the thing that's easiest to get done. Like, well, it's really easy to get my homework done because it's one assignment I can cross off. I can feel good about myself. But what might be harder is going and looking for an apartment because you might have to look at 4 or 5. It might take, days, weeks, months, whatever. But you said, once that's in place, it's way easier to get the little stuff done. And I think that is kind of where I'm at with my site. And we've talked a little bit about that too. It's really easy to answer emails and you get that initial rush. You're like, cool, I'm going to answer all these emails and I'm going to feel productive. But then at some point you have to be putting out great content. You have to be posting. And those are the things that take longer and are more effort and maybe not as fun and not as easy to check off. But if you do them, the rest is going to come.
Exactly. And it goes, one step further than just posting content, a podcast or a post. The big thing that makes your site grow, from what I've seen from friends, especially you, is making products, really big things like your bootcamp. I'm sure that putting that together took a lot longer than writing a post, but it's been a really, really successful project for you. So I'm just sitting here going, man, I could write a post today, but I should really work on this book that I'm working on because once I get that done, it's probably going to do a lot for my business and be really helpful.
Yeah, every day it's that struggle. And I think that's what's really cool about your site is, like we said, it is geared originally towards college kids. But the stuff you talk about, the productivity, the how to be more productive, how to make better use of your time, how to just kind of make your life better little by little by little, day by day. I've been out of college for 10 years now, and every time I read your posts, I'm blown away by the actionable, awesome stuff that's in there. So if anyone's listening, like College Info Geek, not just for college kids, for anyone. And a really cool thing you talk about, one of your most epic posts, I think, you talk about landing the job you want, and there's a few posts about it, but for people coming out of college, and that's obviously a big thing, but there's a lot of people out there nowadays that want to land that job, or that next promotion. What are some quick tips how people can kind of do that? And, again, it applies to all ages, but how can people find that job or get into a career that they want to get into, not just one that they kind of have to take?
I'll say right up front, I think this question is best answered in the College Info Geek podcast episode 6, where I talked to Barrett Brooks from Living for Monday, because we talked about this in the entire process of finding a job that you love, that's going to be helpful to people, that you're going to be good at. And really, my concept of personal branding, which is kind of just like tying yourself to an ideal, like Suze Orman is tied to personal finance. Like people think of her when they think of that name, or like you and Chris Guillebeau and the guy from Everything Everywhere. If I think of like travel guys, I think of you guys because you kind of like branded your names to that. So really it's just about like finding the area that you have a skill in, you have an interest in. I hesitate to say passion because we kind of get mixed up in this like find your passion mantra that gets thrown around. And really a lot of the time it's just doing work and getting good at something that builds a passion. But really those two intersect with where you can help people. Is there an audience out there that needs help in this area? And once you have that sweet spot, you can start connecting with people who share the same values and interests. And when you do that, the opportunities will start opening up because they can connect you to people who need help.
Yeah, 100% agree. Not that everyone has to go out and start a website or podcast like me and Thomas have, but the opportunities that have come my way from just me saying, I'm going to start this website. I know I had wanted to do it. I said this would be cool if I could do it full time, but you know, it has been a up and down roller coaster, you know, for 2 years now, some really high highs, some really low lows. So the luck of being able to do it full time wasn't like a staircase, man. It was like I was tripping and falling back down and then having to come back up. You know, you don't have to start a website or anything like that, but if you put yourself out there, the more you put yourself out there with your talents and you say, I'm talented at this, and even if you're helping people for free or you're doing freelance stuff for paid, you start to find all these interesting people. And then you're like, wait, they're doing that for money or for like a job? Like, I never even knew that was possible. Like the other day, I sent away my passport to a guy, and it's just two guys, and they help people get passports and visas and stuff so you don't have to go to the consulates. And I was like, that's really interesting. They just created a job out of nowhere because of something. They live next to the embassy, right? Or the consulate.
So wait, what is that?
You know, it's called Allied Passports. And basically, if you want to get a Chinese visa, you have to go and hand deliver your passport to the Chinese consulate, you know, in Washington or New York or wherever you live. And you cannot send it in. So what they've done is they said, all right, well, no one other than people who live in the city want to do that. You can have someone actually hand in your passport for you, but a human actually has to hand it in. So they've said, okay, we're going to take your passport to the Chinese embassy in Washington and, you know, you'll send it to us. We'll make sure the paperwork's okay. We'll go hand it in. We'll go pick it up and we'll send it back to you. And they charge a fee. You know, like I couldn't get down to Washington, D.C. for $45, right? So I pay them $45. And they do it. It's two guys, and they created a business out of a need that they saw.
Definitely. But that kind of reveals something else to me. Like, you'd think that if they said you had to hand the passport with yourself, they want that to happen because they want to verify who you are, when really
they just want anyone.
It doesn't have to be you, so it's just some, like, bureaucratic thing, then.
Yes, yes.
It's weird. Okay.
It is strange. The other day, I was shocked by that, by thinking, you know, that's so interesting that they've created this out of nowhere. It didn't exist. They didn't go apply for it. They didn't have to write resumes. They just saw a need and they said, well, we know travel. So we're obviously pretty organized because we're going to have to be handling a lot of people's passports and stuff. And they created themselves a company and it's flourishing and it's helping people too. That's obviously a big thing. You're creating something that helps someone.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, that's cool.
It is cool. It is cool. And I think that speaks to what you were talking about of, you know, making yourself indispensable. You know, I need those guys to do it, so I'm going to pay them to do it.
Oh, heck yeah. Man, I didn't know you had to do that. Okay, so note that down for whenever I want to go to China.
For when you go to China,
I
yeah.
Take you can't just use your passport to get into China like you can with Japan.
Right. You actually need a visa, correct. Yeah.
Okay. So
one thing I wanted to touch on too before we start talking about traveling a little bit is I loved your story about starting College Info Geek because it started with a failure for something else, right?
Right.
So if you want to talk about that a little bit, because again, I think sometimes people think, oh, he was in college, you start a website, now it's flourishing and look at how great he is, but you failed first.
Exactly. And I will say before I tell that story that there have been several times where I'm like, I should just quit my site. Like, it took 2.5 years to start making any money, like, to live on. And before that, a lot of the times I'd be like, you know, I don't know where my life is going. Maybe I should just, like, try to sell this thing or, like, hand it off to somebody else or, I don't know, quit, find a job. And there was a lot of doubt. And it just takes a while to get to a point where, you know, you're kind of sure in what you want to do and that it's sustainable for you as a person. But on to the origin story. Everybody loves an origin story. That's why they keep rebooting Spider-Man. Freshman year, I started reading blogs because I wanted to find more ways to study better, be more productive, all the kind of stuff I write about. It was what I wanted to learn. I didn't want to spend time studying. I wanted to get A's easily. So I was like, how can I hack my learning? So I typed in hack and college into Google and found a blog called Hack College. And started by this guy who went to college in California. It was like Loyola University or something. And he started it in 2006. So it was this pretty big blog. And I was just reading it for the whole year and I loved it. And then at the end of the year, they put out a call for new writers. And they were like, all right, we're going to want to make a new team of writers because they were one of those like four students by students. Just like once you graduate, you're done kind of thing. And I think they've kind of moved on from that whole rule. But back then, that's how they worked. So I was like, yes, it's going to be me. they were like, send your resume and a guest post idea, like a full post. So I wrote up an entire guest post. I was like, screw resumes. Here's my LinkedIn, because I'd seen them write about how LinkedIn's better than resumes. I figured that would like make me more stand out or whatever. And I was sure that I was going to get in. Well, I wasn't. You know, they emailed me a couple of weeks later and said, a lot of people applied. You're not one of the people we're accepting, but thanks for trying. So I was like, well, I have this guest post that I just wrote. I can't get it on that site because they're not going to hire me. What am I going to do with it? I'd been designing websites since I was in high school. I had never worked with WordPress, but I knew what it was. So I just tried throwing it on a server and threw my post up there. It had this crappy, ugly theme, but we went from there and kind of got started from there. And then I had a friend who wanted to start his own blog about a month later. And I was like, well, why don't you just write with me? So it was just me and him for a while. And then it ended up becoming me alone. And then I got a huge team of writers at one point and they kind of all dropped off. And now it's just me again. But it's been kind of a wild ride.
And College Info Geek was born.
Yep.
And now I assume that, I don't know how big Hack College is, but your site is, I mean, I guess a competitor, maybe we'll say friendly competitor with Hack College, but probably as big or close to as big as that site is, correct?
Maybe. I know for a while there, I was getting real close. The guys who originally started, they sold it off to a company, and then the company's been doing some pretty big marketing efforts, so I think it's grown. But their focus is a lot different now. It's very college-focused, but they usually have shorter articles. Their focus isn't as tight, I think, the short-term hacks and things like that, whereas I tend to do a lot more in-depth, like, here's how to do this, the ultimate guide from start to finish kind of thing. Competitor, yes, but I think I have a more focused and in-depth area that I cover.
And I'm with you. I like reading that, and that's kind of how I've actually just written. I heard some really great advice is like, and this can go to anything that you're doing in life. I was struggling with like, what type of blog post should I write? Should they be shorter, quicker snippets so that people can read them quicker? And then I said, someone said to me, write what you would want to read. Whatever you enjoy reading, write for that because that's what you're going to be best at. And so, you know, sometimes they're short posts, but usually they're longer, more in-depth things. Like you said, creating a longer post that really isn't a definitive guide to something or a really in-depth on a topic as opposed to, okay, here's 400 words and a lot of pictures that you can click through. And I know you do that at your site, which is why I enjoy your site, because that's the kind of stuff I enjoy reading. Really cool that you got turned down by a site and you said, well, I might as well start my own now. And now you've been able to grow yours in a way that you're a competitor of theirs, you're as big as theirs or whatever. But I mean, you're doing what you would have done for them just for yourself now. So you took a failure and completely flipped it on its head.
Yeah. And I do have to say, like, later on, I ended up becoming great friends with everyone who ran the site. And I mean, they definitely helped me. I helped them. So we collaborated a lot. It's not like they're a competitor. And
right. No animosity.
Number one. No, we're all great friends there. And so, you know, I guess in the blogging space, that's really what you kind of have to do. You know, it's not really competition. Maybe at the big, like, Forbes level, they're like looking at Business Week thinking they're competition. They got to crush them. But at our level, just friends with people because they're going to share your stuff if you're friendly with them. And if you're not, then they're not. So, I mean, it's advantageous to do so. Plus, you get cool people to talk to. Most of the people running these sites are really cool.
I 100% agree, especially because like I'm the only writer for my site. You're the only writer for your site. So if someone writes a post about something that's great, why am I going to regurgitate? I don't have enough hours in the day to write the post that I already thought of. So I agree with you 100% with that. Let's turn it around a little bit because we've talked travel a good amount on some other Skype calls. And, you know, a lot of people that listen to this are interested in the travel stories. And one of the reasons that having you on is so beneficial is because your travel story is different than a lot of people who have come on in the fact that you haven't traveled as much. You're younger, but you haven't traveled as much and you weren't always taken to traveling the same way as like, you know, oh, I was 14, I'd already been to 100 countries and stuff like that. You told me a really cool story about your first international trip. I think it'll knock people's socks off a little bit. Why don't you go ahead and tell us where you went and how it happened?
Well, sure thing. I have to say up front, this is actually my second international trip that you're thinking of here.
Oh, I'm
my
sorry.
My first international trip, I'm going to put international in air quotes because people can't see me doing it. I was probably 15 and we were up in like just the boonies in Minnesota, like northern Minnesota at this cabin resort thing, fishing. And my parents and the uncle and cousin I was with were like, hey, let's go to Canada for a day. So we go to Canada, and the wild exotic land that Canada is offered up to us a American sports bar and a dollar store. So we went and saw the American sports bar and the dollar store. I was amazed, took many photos. Just kidding. And then we came back. I was like just starting to get facial hair. So my little cousin told the border guard that I was from Al Qaeda. The border guard was like, he's 10. He's obviously joking. But my parents got really, really mad at me because I thought I put him up to it, and I didn't at all. But so that was my not so nice Canada story. And I guess that's abroad, not really.
Yeah, well, that's funny because I hadn't heard that. And that is a cool story for your first international trip, too. Your second one is cool as well.
Yeah. So the second one is the legit one. And this was, second semester junior year. So a couple of years ago, back in 2012, my friend put on Facebook, I want to go to Japan at some point this summer. Who's in? And I was like, I want to go. It starts off as many of those crazy stories do where you're just joking around on Facebook about something. And then you're like, let me go on the web and see how much the flight's going to cost. I have money in bank. All right, well, let's do it. And we didn't really have any plans. So I had a friend who had kind of went to Japan for a month and wandered the streets by himself. So I kind of talked to him a while, got some information, surfed Wicked Travel and Japan Guide. I was reading sites like Chris Gilbo and stuff like that, looking for travel hacking tips. So I got a pretty good flight ticket price to Japan. But other than that, we got there and had no idea what to do.
And it was just you and your friend, right? Both of you?
It was me and two friends.
Okay, 20 years old or what have you.
Yeah. It was pretty crazy. And the funny thing is I had things set up on both ends of that trip. Before was going to San Francisco to work with Adobe for a couple of days. And then afterwards I was going to NYC. So I kind of had like organized it so I would leave from San Francisco. But my friends were leaving from Iowa. So I got to Japan and then I had to wait in the airport for 13 straight hours for their flight to get in because they were on standby for some reason. So my first Japan experience was 13 hours sleeping in an airport.
Very
nice.
Trying
to figure out what was going on because nobody speaks English there. Well, people in the airport do.
But. Right. That's quite an adventure for your first international trip. You know, most people are like, all right, well, I'm going to go to Italy or I'm going to go to Paris or I'm going to go to London, which is basically like going to Canada if you have to get on a plane. Yeah, here you are going on your second international trip to Japan and then actually having to meet up with people. Really, really cool. You know, for me, and this kind of harkens back to college a little bit, I know most people say no regrets in life, and generally, I live by that. I know you do, too. But there is one thing that I can say is a regret, and will always be a regret, and I can't change it anymore, and that's that I never studied abroad in college, and obviously, I've made up for lost time now. What are your thoughts, because you must get the question a lot then from college students about studying abroad. So do you have any thoughts on whether it's beneficial for people or whether you would highly recommend it? And did you study abroad yourself?
That's a question I do get a lot. And I always like cringe a little bit when I get the question because I'm like, I don't know what to say. I never studied abroad is the thing. Everyone that I know who has done it has been like, it's an amazing experience. I loved it. But I have heard that when you study abroad, a lot of the time you spend with other American students at the Americanized university, you know, little enclave you're in, and you hang out with them a lot. I usually tell people if you have the money to study abroad, like if it's not going to add excess debt to your student loan burden, then from everyone I've heard, it's an amazing experience. You should definitely go do it. But if I were to be put on the spot, I would say that going and having a travel experience on your own or with a friend where you get more immersed in the culture, you're not surrounded by a bunch of Americans all the time, and you have to kind of navigate the culture on your own, that's probably going to be more beneficial. And it's probably going to be cheaper.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I didn't study abroad as well. I regret it in the fact that I do think, like you said, I think it's more beneficial to take a trip on your own if you can or if you have the desire to or the money to or what have you. But yeah, the study abroad, like you, everyone I've talked to has raved about it. And I do think it is a way to stick your foot in without going all the way in. Like you said, you have the built-in support systems and stuff like that. I look back on college, I'm like, man, that was a semester. Like, that was cool. I hung out with my buddies and all, but I could have been meeting new people, been in another culture, seen some cool things. And that was one of the reasons it started me, like, I'm going to travel at every opportunity I can because I didn't do it then. Let's make up for lost time here.
Yeah. And honestly, like, my biggest thing here is the debt concern. If you graduate, you know, the less debt you have, the freer you are. And the more debt you have, the more likely it is that you're going to have to force yourself into a certain living situation where you can make enough money to pay it off. But everything about it other than that is not going to be what you want. You know, I've realized having paid off my debt, which we'll probably talk about later, the freedom it brings is amazing. Like, it's start of the year right now, so most of the money I have is going to be going to taxes for my business. But pretty much all the time, I've got money in the bank. If I want to cart off to Japan again, I can do it because I don't have any debt to pay off. Had I taken on a bunch of extra debt to study abroad in college, I might be paying that off right now. And I mean, like, given that if I hadn't built up the site and had this sort of living situation, I might be living in Milwaukee working at some financial company. You know, maybe that's a situation somebody's listening to this right now is having. And you just need to realize, if you're a student listening to this, the more debt you have, the less freedom you're going to have. So don't assign more burden to your future self to do something, because the freedom is worth foregoing a couple experiences beforehand, I think.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about that then. Your huge thing, one of the things you're most proud of and you should be most proud of, is the fact that you paid your way through college through grants and some loans, but then the half of it that you had to pay out of pocket, you were able to pay off before you even graduate. So tell people how you did that, because that's extraordinary. It really is.
Yeah. So I'll say right off the bat, I got a lot of scholarships going into college, but at the end of the day, I still paid for all my textbooks and fees and everything. And even after that, I had $15,000 in debt.
Okay. So $15,000 you had to pay back. Okay.
$14,431.81, something like that.
Or something like that.
I have the number in the post that I wrote about it. And I was like, I don't want this debt when I graduate. I don't want it right now because I hate debt. I'm one of those people who will never speed, because the thought of having to pay money that I didn't get any value from like a speeding ticket, just like disgusts me. And the same thing with the debt. I know, like, the principal of the loan was able to let me have a dorm my freshman year and sophomore year, but any interest I have to pay on that is wasted money. So I was like, I have to pay this off as soon as possible. And I have my impossible list, my goal list on my site. And that was like the biggest goal on the list. And I wanted to do it. $15,000. And the way I paid it off is mainly through the site. But before the site started making money, it was a huge priority for me to work in college. So I always had a part-time job. I usually worked 20 hours a week. And very luckily, a friend got me into working at the IT center my freshman year. So I didn't have to flip burgers or anything, which I guess that's a good takeaway. College campuses have better jobs than flipping burgers or being a janitor, as long as you work to look for them and you kind of cultivate some sort of skill. Can you communicate well and use a computer? There's probably a pretty okay job for you on a college campus that's not at a restaurant or something. You just have to find it and be mindful. Start looking early. I found my job before the semester even started, so that was a blessing. I did an internship at a financial company and made a good amount of money from that. So I was able to sock that away. And then once the site started making money, 2 years from when I started it is when it started really making money, and then 2.5 years until it was making like enough to live on. Since I was cheap, I basically would get my paycheck and then take out what I needed to live and sock the rest of the debt, you know, like shooting $3,000-$4,000 at it at a time. And eventually it was gone. So I just lived real cheaply for that amount of time that I was paying off the debt really hardcore, and then it was gone. So, I mean, at that point, I could start saving, and it was like, whew, I no longer have that huge chunk of debt hanging over my head.
I was going to say that it's just incredible. It really is, because I would assume that, I don't know the numbers, but you have to look at probably 90% of people or 80% of people who come out of college or have some sort of college debt, and it's awful in the United States. And we don't have to get off on a tangent on that. I already told my wife we're never sending our kids to university in the States. They're going abroad or they're going to Canada, because it's, you know, a third the price or a quarter the price for the same education. It's awesome. And I think too that whether it be college debt or any type of debt that you're running, I think, like you said, the main point is you take what you can live off of, you know, what you need, and then you pay off. You just start hitting the debt, because once you're free from that, then all of a sudden, like you said, your life, it really opens up. You know, you don't have to be living in Milwaukee being a financial planner. You can run a website, you can live from wherever. And I think that's a really important
thing. Or you can live in Milwaukee and be a financial planner if that's what right. You want to do. But you're not forced into it. I do want to talk a little bit about the numbers, just a couple. The average student graduates now with $30,000 in debt. If you do the math on that, I read a book by Zach Bissonnette called Debt for You, and he talks about people who had to pay these loans off. Most students don't do the math. They see the number, okay, I've got $30,000 in debt, if they know how much debt they have at all.
Right. Well, that's a good point.
In my head, I'm going to graduate and get a great job, and I can just pay that off really easily. And they don't think, well, oh, crap, the great job I just got is in L.A. My apartment is now $1,500 a month, and I've got taxes, and I've got food, and I want to go out and hang out. And now I have a girlfriend, and she costs money. And like, oh, and then you have like this $500 a month student loan payment that is just accruing interest. All of a sudden, it just hits people like a ton of bricks. So I really want people to just kind of be mindful about what the burden actually is going to look like in your day-to-day life, not just future self can pay it off because future self is going to have an awesome job and be rich. Most of us are not going to have super, you know, huge coffers and huge bank accounts.
Yep. So it's amazing. I agree. Any type of debt it is, college, credit card, I don't know, car payment, you know, whatever it is, don't bite off more than you can chew. But if you do, or if you have to, like you're going to college, you're going to have to take off debt, you have to be mindful of how that's going to affect you in the future and what little steps you can do. Even just paying off an extra couple hundred a month is going to help so much in the long run because you're just cutting into that interest. We don't have to get into too much of the finance stuff because I think we could geek out forever on it. But I did want to mention because I think it's really cool what you did, and we're going to obviously link to the post because anyone who's in any type of debt or looking at a situation can really learn from what you did and kind of the steps you took to actually eliminate $15,000 in debt while you were still in college. So it's not like you were having a full-time job or anything like that. You just took really steadfast steps towards it, and that's pretty awesome. And I think I already know the answer to this, but what is the favorite place that you've ever traveled to?
Nippon.
Yeah.
Definitely Japan. It's the only place I've really traveled to because I'm not going to count Canada. If I can go to Toronto or Quebec or Newfoundland or somewhere eventually, I'll count Canada, but not now. So definitely Japan. Such an amazing experience. And I went back in 2013 again because I loved it so much. And if you spent 2 years there, you know how much of an amazing country it is.
Yeah. How did the travel there transform you? Because I love it because you hadn't done really any travel before that. You went to Japan and you were still in college at that point. So what did that do for your mindset when you came back? Like whether it be for your business or just for your own personal clarity or how you attacked life?
I think for one, it just really, really opened my mind to like the world as, you know, one big place with a lot of different cultures and everything is very different. I guess you know that in your head, but at least for me, living in America, it's like everyone, when you grow up, you're like, America's the best. Every place else is not as good. And then you go abroad and like people over there are happy and they've got good things going on. And it's just like, it makes you less nationalistic, I think. I just think of the world as kind of one big place. Sure, there are different governments and different languages and everything, but it's all people. And the people over there are so polite and so nice. And I met so many great people there. It's just like, the world's awesome, and I don't want to spend it just in America. You know, it's it's so cool. It really changed my mindset to just like how people are all over the place.
Yeah, and I think, hey, there you go. Thomas Frank says the world's awesome, right? All right, so I got to hold you accountable a little bit here because reading through your bio, you state at the very end, I think it's like the last bullet point, like maybe 10 things about you or whatever it's called. You say, when I graduate and pay off my student loan, so check, check, right? I want to travel the world with my amazing girlfriend.
Yes.
So, we're here on a travel podcast. Where do you want to go? What are you looking forward to doing? And how are you going to make that happen? And what is the dream, man? Because you've done the two huge things that you set out to do.
Yeah. So, amazing girlfriend is still in college. And she will be until next May, May 2015. So, I've got some time to work real hard here in the States and save up money. But I know if I can make it happen and if she doesn't have an internship in the way, then this summer we want to go to Ireland. I don't know that much about Ireland, but I've seen The Quiet Man and she really, really wants to go. So we're tentatively planning on that. But after that, I mean, she's got a whole list. She was one of those high schoolers that did travel because she had a band and stuff. So she went to Italy and she went to Austria. And she's like, you have to go to Italy and Austria. I have to show you the big castle in Austria. And I forget the name of it. We're obviously going to go there. She really, really wants to go to Japan because she's an anime nerd and video game nerd like me. So we're going to go there again. We just have so many places we want to go. Her favorite movies in the world are the Lord of the Rings movies. So obviously we have to go to New Zealand as well. I mean, it's just like this big old list. So what basically the dream is, I want to keep this going so I can keep working wherever I am in the world. That's like the holy grail of jobs in my mind. And then as long as we can afford it and keep saving money and have a little bit to give away, keep traveling.
Yeah, mine too. I think that's why both of us were motivated to start a site in the beginning, was because the thought of I can live wherever and do the work I'm doing. You know, for me, I just love the travel that I said, if I can set up my lifestyle to be like that, like I could not think of anything better than that. Yeah, seems to be kind of where you're headed as well, which is awesome. And you know, if I can help it anyway, we'll be helping you out with travel. But that's cool because I just love the mindset of, you know, we get so many people on the show who have traveled so much and it's awesome. People have well better traveled than me, but it's cool to have someone on who's younger is like, you know, I haven't done a lot, but I know I'm going to and I'm setting up my life to do it because it had such an impression on me, even if I was sleeping in the airport for 13 hours on my first real international trip.
You know, that was a big pain in the butt when I did it, but like looking back, that's one of the big memories from Japan.
Yeah.
They finally got out of the airport. They didn't see me, so like they go straight to the bathroom to brush their teeth or whatever, and I just like kind of show up there. Like, hey guys, what's up? And we didn't know what to do. I had no idea where a hotel would be, so we were like wandering the streets at 3 a.m. We walk into this hotel. None of us can speak very good Japanese, and we like finally figure out this place is going to be like $60 to, and then make us check out 5 hours later at 10 a.m. So then we just go sit in a noodle shop for 24-hour noodle shop for like the entire morning. And we were up for 48 straight hours like the first night. Those experiences are never going to go away in my mind. So much fun.
That is the classic Japanese experience, man. I've slept in Narita and Haneda, both the Tokyo airports, I think 3 times each now. The flight schedules are always off and they're always either early in the morning or late at night, or we were getting in and we missed a flight. Yeah, so I've slept at both those airports plenty of times, and that is the culture. If you're wandering the streets at 3 a.m., it's not weird because people are sleeping all over the place in restaurants, which is very weird to us. And the first couple of times, like I remember my first night there, someone took me to a Denny's, which is not anything like an American Denny's, but it's the same company. And it's just people sleeping on the table.
I went to the Denny's too. It's not that dissimilar, I think. I mean, they definitely have different menu items and everything, but you definitely know it's a Denny's.
Well, I was looking for pancakes and they didn't have pancakes.
Okay. I gotcha.
Yeah. So really, really cool. So, all right, you're going to keep College Info Geek running even though you're graduating, which is awesome because we've said it's really for all ages, levels of people, because the stuff you write really works for any situation you're in. But what other stuff do you have in the pipeline that people should be looking at College Info Geek or any other projects you're taking on?
Well, most of my things are somewhat related to College Info Geek. So right now, I guess I have a few projects coming down the pipeline. For one, the site is getting a huge redesign. Not super exciting for most people, except for me. Like a new reader is going to be like, cool, it's going to be redesigned. I don't know what it looks like now. But that's one of the big things we're working on. My personal website, thomasjfrank.com, I built this HTML5 theme for it. And people keep asking me, what theme is that? Is that a WordPress theme? So I'm going to turn that into a WordPress theme pretty soon and give that away. And then I'm working my first book, which is maybe 50, 60 page book on just the ins and outs of how to be more productive and motivated. Because that is the number one thing I get emailed about from students. How do I be more productive, get all this crap done that I have to get done? So I want to make kind of an in-depth guide that's all about all the techniques that I've learned over the years for being more productive. And that's kind of what's in the pipeline right now, besides more blog posts and more podcasts.
Yeah, that is awesome, because that is, again, a book that you could give it to anyone. Like, everyone can be more productive. We talked about this before. People come to me like, how do you get so much done? I'm like, I think I'm the least productive person in the world. So very, very cool. We'll be looking out for that. And we're going to link up everything in the show notes. And of course, when the book comes out, we'll be sending that out to readers and listeners to check that out. Because I think that if it's anything like the post that you write, and I'm sure it will be, it's going to be full of actionable stuff that you can actually do and take the steps towards being more productive and motivated. So really cool. Good luck with that.
Yeah, I want to get it done by the end of February. So I look productive, but some days it's just like, how do people think that I'm productive? I haven't done anything today. I've been staring at this email inbox at 30 emails and just, hey, I did one. I took minutes on it.
Thomas Frank, productivity expert.
Productivity guru, yeah.
Thanks so much for coming on the show, Thomas. It's been awesome. And we said, while you're focused on college students, you truly aren't. Inspiration for people of all ages to become more productive, like we've talked about, and really focus on what makes them happy and how they can build systems to get a life that they want. So even old guys like me. Before I let you go, just remind people where they can come connect with you, how they can find you online, the site address, you know, Twitter, Facebook. How do you interact with people?
Definitely. So yeah, collegeinfogeek.com is the website. I also have the podcast. So if anyone's interested, cigpodcast.com will redirect you to my podcast page. So which you can listen to my interview with Trav about Franklin Fire Miles. And that's a great interview. One of my favorite ones, actually. On Twitter, I'm just Tom Frankly because I like the pun. And the one thing I forgot to mention is I had a student email me about, she just basically wanted tips on traveling to Japan, which reminded me I had a huge post outline for Japan travel, just basically a brain dump of everything that I did. So assuming you don't publish this the day we record it.
Which I won't.
Yeah, I'll have a just kind of like my brain dump of tips for traveling through Japan up on the site. That'll be one of the travel related things and maybe we can link to that. But yeah, that's about it. Definitely love to meet people on Twitter. So that's a great communication place for me. Honestly, I think Facebook is kind of dying these days for brands that don't want to pay. So, I mean, there is a Facebook page, but hit me up on Twitter. It's going to be a lot more fun.
Awesome. And thanks again for coming on. Now that you're a graduate, I cannot wait to see where the College Info Geek and your journey continue to take off because you're really an inspiration.
Definitely. Well, yeah, man, you inspire me as well. And I get a ton of value out of your site. So thank you as well.
Awesome. Thanks for coming on, buddy. Cheers. If you like what you heard today, folks, from Thomas Frank of collegeinfogeek.com, make sure to go check out his site. His posts are one of the few that I continue to read every time he puts stuff up because they're just always chock full of awesome, actionable tips and tricks, some of which he shared today. Just really, really good stuff there. Don't forget also, if you haven't signed up for the EPOP newsletter, what are you waiting for? That's the best way to always stay in touch with us, to know what's going on at EPOP, when new podcasts are coming out, when new posts are coming out, when our big project that we're hopefully finished by February and March is going to be launched. So make sure you sign up for our newsletter. You'll also then be given a free copy of our Become a Frequent Flyer Millionaire email series. And you can get that by heading to extrapackofpeanuts.com/free. That's all for today, guys. Thanks so much for listening. And until next time, happy free travel.